us.
I simply mean...
She snatched the sleeve of his fine robes and spun him around. Her brow was set in a serious scowl. She gave a firm tug, forcing him to sit on the bed next to her. Her eyes seemed more pink than white in the lamplight, yet he could see the dim haze of green in them.
Us,
she repeated. This time it came out in a growling rasp.
And you complain about the small secrets a sorceress would choose to keep to herself. Out with it, or I will make you sorry you dragged me along with you.
Zed gave a tired sigh. It was just as well. He couldn't keep it from her much longer anyway. He drew the dark sleeve of his robe up his arm. The flesh of his upper arm, in the same place where her arm had been cut, was blotched with cloudy black circles about the size of gold coins, and had the same faint green glow as her arm. She stared at it without reaction.
Wizards use the magic of empathy to cure people. We take the pain and the essence of the discordance, the sickness or injury, into ourselves. We have passed the test of pain, so in this, as in other things, we are able to endure what we take from another. We use the gift to sustain us and to give strength to the person, allowing the magic to cure what is out of order. The harmony within us corrects the disharmony. Sickness and injury is an aberration, and the magic restores the flows of power in a person to what it is intended to be.
He stroked her hand.
Within limits, of course. We are not the hand of creation, but from it we have the gift to use when it is appropriate.
But why be your arm like mine?
The actual transfer of the sickness or injury is blocked. Only the pain and disharmony of it is taken on, so we may pass strength, healing, and wellness to the one we are helping.
He took hold of the silver brocade at the cuff and drew the sleeve back down his arm.
Somehow, the taint of the screen passed through that barrier.
Concern creased her features.
Then we must both lose our arms.
Zed worked his tongue to wet it.
No, I'm afraid that wouldn't help. When I try to cure someone, I can sense where the injury or sickness, the disharmony, lies.
He stood again, turning his back to her.
Though the wound is on your arm, the taint of the screen's magic is evident throughout your body.
His voice dropped to a whisper.
It is also throughout me now.
Zed could hear the muffled laughter from down in the dining room. Merry music seemed to ooze up through the elegant, richly colored carpets. A bard was singing a bawdy tale about a princess masquerading as a serving wench. Her father and king had pledged her to a prince she loathed. After having exposed the suitor as a scoundrel and greedy opportunist, she found that, despite having to endure her bottom being pinched, she preferred the occupation of serving wench to that of princess, and went on to live a life of singing and dancing. The crowd roared their approval, thumping their mugs in time with the tune. Addie's voice came softly from behind him.
We be in a great deal of trouble, old man.
He nodded absently.
Indeed.
I be sorry, he said. Forgive me for what I wrought upon us.
He dismissed her regrets with a wave of his hand.
What's done is done. It's not your fault, dear lady. If anything, it's mine, for not thinking before I used magic on this. The price of using your heart before using your head.
The price, too, for violating the wizard's second rule, he thought, but did not voice it. The heavy folds of his robe swirled around him as he turned back to face her.
Addie, think! There must be someone who would know about this taint, someone who knows about the screen. Is there anyone you visited when searching knowledge of the underworld who would know something? Even if it's just a little, it might give me the clue I need to rid us of this.
Her weight settled deeper into the pillows as she frowned in thought. Finally, her head rolled from side to side.
When I visited the women with the gift, I be young. They be old, at least older than I. They would all be dead by now.
Zed stepped closer.
Did any have daughters? Daughters with the gift?
Addie's eyes came to his. Her eyebrows lifted, and a smile grew on her finely wrinkled face.
Yes. One who taught me some of the most important things about the screen had daughters.
She propped herself up on her good elbow.
Three daughters.
Her grin grew.
They all had the gift. They be little at the time, but they had the gift. They would not be nearly as old as I. If their mother lived long enough, she would have taught them what she knew. That be the way of a sorceress.
Despite the dull ache of a foreign magic in his bones, Zed's step was lively with excitement.
Then we must go to them. Where are they?
Addie winced as she sank back down on the pillows. She drew the blanket up to her chest.
Nicobarese. They be in a remote part of Nicobarese.
Bags!
Zed let out a sigh.
It's a long way in the wrong direction.
He stroked a thumb and finger down opposite sides of his smooth jaw.
Can you think of anyone else?
Addie whispered to herself as one at a time she lifted open the fingers of a closed hand.
Sons,
she muttered.
She had only sons.
She lifted open another finger.
No, she didn't know anything of the screen.
Finally, she lifted open the last finger.
No children.
Her hands fell limp to her sides.
I be sorry, Zed. The three sisters be the only ones who might know something, and they be in Nicobarese.
And this woman, their mother, where did she learn these things? Maybe we could go there.
Addie smoothed the blanket against her stomach. Her hands slipped away to rest at her side.
The light only knows. The only place I know we can go to seek answers be Nicobarese.
Zed pointed a bony finger skyward.
Then we go to Nicobarese.
Addie looked at him dubiously.
Zed, there be blood of the fold in Nicobarese. My name be remembered there, and not remembered fondly.
That was an awfully long time ago, Addie. 2 kings ago.
Time means nothing to the blood.
He rubbed his chin as he thought.
Well, no one knows who we are. We've been hiding our identity to remain out of the keeper's sight. We will simply continue to be 2 wealthy travelers.
He scowled at her.
I'm already wearing this ridiculous outfit.
The lavish robes they both wore had been her idea, and not one he enjoyed. Addie shrugged.
It would appear we have no choice. What must be done must be done.
She grunted with the effort of sitting up in the bed.
We must be on our way.
Zed waved his hand dismissively.
You are weak and need rest. I will secure us transportation. It's too difficult to ride horseback anymore. I'll hire us a coach or something.
He lifted an eyebrow as he gave her a sly smile.
After all, if we're going to wear these garish outfits and feign being wealthy travelers, it would be best to play the part with a coach.
She watched as he scrutinized himself in front of the tall standing mirror. He held the full robes out, examining their volume. The robe was a heavy, maroon fabric with black sleeves and cowled shoulders. The cuffs of the sleeves had 3 rows of silver brocade. Around the neck and down the front were bands of gold brocade woven in a coarser design. The waist was held with a flashy, red satin belt set with a gold buckle. The whole effect was so ostentatious it made him groan inwardly. Well, necessary was necessary. Zed swept his arm across his middle while bowing dramatically.
How do I look, dear lady?
Addie plucked a slice of brown bread from the tray.
Foolish.
He straightened in a rush and finally shook a finger at her.
May I remind you that you picked it out?
She shrugged.
Revenge. You picked mine. I thought it only fitting to seek redress.
He strode across the expanse of carpets in a huff, muttering that he thought she had gotten the better of the bargain by far.
You get a little rest. I'll see about our transportation.
Addie tore a chunk of bread off with her teeth and spoke around the mouthful as he headed for the door.
Don't forget your hat.
Zed froze with a wince. He spun on the balls of his feet.
Bags, woman, must I wear the hat, too?
She chewed a moment and then swallowed.
The man who sold us the outfit said it be all the rage among noblemen.
Zed forced out a noisy breath and then snatched the limp red hat off the marble tabletop beside the double doors to the outer room. He plopped it atop his wavy white hair.
Better?
The feather be crooked.
He clenched his fists. At last he reached up and rearranged the floppy hat, straightening the long peacock feather.
Happy?
She smiled. At his expense, he presumed.
Zed, I said you look foolish only because you be such a handsome man that the fancy clothes look silly in trying to improve upon perfection.
A grin stole back onto his face. He gave another quick bow.
Why, thank you, madam.
She pulled the piece of bread in half.
And Zed, be careful.
He cocked his head with a questioning frown.
Masquerading in that outfit, like the princess in the song, you may get your bottom pinched.
Zed gave her a mischievous wink.
I won't let any stray wench trespass on your territory.
He canted his hat to a jaunty angle and, humming a merry tune, swept through the doors. A cane, he thought. Perhaps he should have a cane. An ornate one, of course. It seemed to him that a gentleman should have a proper cane. Chapter 34 Warm air ascended the stairs from the dining room along with the buzz of the packed room. The aroma of roasting meats drifted in from the kitchen to mix pleasantly with the sweet tang of pipe smoke. Zed rubbed his stomach as he descended the stairs, wondering if he might spare the time to sample a plate. On the landing sat a tall basket holding three canes. Zed pulled the most ornate, a straight, black cane with an elaborate head worked in silver, from the basket. He tapped the flamboyant cane on the wood landing, testing its length and heft. Seemed a tad heavy, he thought, but it would do as a proper accessory. The proprietor, Master Hillman, a rotund man with his white shirt sleeves rolled up above his dimpled elbows and wearing a sparkling white apron, spied him as he reached the bottom of the steps and immediately rushed across the room, shoving men out of his way. The man's round, pink cheeks plumped out farther as his small mouth spread with a familiar grin.
Master Rybnik, so good to see you again.
Zed almost turned to see to whom the man was speaking before he remembered that was the name he had given.